Thank God, thank God, thank God. I have to tell you, Michelle and I feel so honored and privileged to be in the will of God in this ministry. It just, Michelle looked at me the other day and she just said to me, she said, honey, you know, things, it's just so wonderful. God has made our lives so wonderful to be in the will and the purpose of the plan of God. And we count it a privilege to stand in the office of pastor. And even though you see me in a public position, I think it's very important that you understand. My wife stands by my side and has such an incredible input into this ministry. God has not put it in her life or in her heart at this point to do anything publicly. But there's so much done behind that no one could ever see. And it's not necessary that anybody see. Amen? It's the work of the kingdom that God gets the glory. But I just feel it's important that you understand that we together love you. We praise God for you. And it burns in our hearts like a coal of fire to see the purpose, the plan, and the will of God be consummated in your life. And that means more to Michelle and I than breath. And we thank God for the opportunity and the privilege to be in the center of God's plan. We've been discussing, and we've had like a two-week break from the series, but 9 keys you must know to receive healing from God. Now this week we'll teach, and next week we're going to teach this, the final lesson, and we will pray for the sick next week. You'll understand this, that many dear hearts, when they come to be prayed for healing, are coming because they desire to be well, but that doesn't mean you understand how to receive healing. Anybody sick desires to be well. Can you say amen? But that doesn't make you understand or have the ability to receive healing. And so we don't want to confuse the desire to be healed with the ability to receive healing, because they're two separate things. But there are 9 keys that I found in my years of traveling, ministering to the sick. 9 keys that I found. If people had these keys and a working heart knowledge of this, their heart was persuaded in these 9 areas that they were in a position to receive healing from God. Healing must be received. Now, we won't go through in detail rather than just to mention them to you. We've already gone through the first 6 of them. And we shared the first one, is that you must recognize the origin of sickness and disease to be able to receive healing from God. Now, these are not things you should know. These are things you must know if you're going to receive from God. Some things are good to know. You should know them. In other words, it would be to your advantage to know them. Then there are other things, dear child of God, you must know. That if you don't know these keys, that you will be great. In fact, I'll show you by the Word of God. If you don't understand what I'm sharing with you, let me say this as plainly as I know how. The Bible says for a person that doesn't understand these principles, not to even think he can receive from God. Now listen to me. I'll show you scripture that says, if you don't understand the principles of the kingdom, how to walk by faith, he said, don't even think that you're in a position to be able to receive from God. Now, I don't know about you all. I know me. I do not want to be in a position in my walk with the Lord where I can't even comprehend. I can't even let the thought cross my mind that I'm in a position to receive from God. It's so important that we understand. You must determine the origin of disease. Where did it come from? Who's the author of it? Now, tapes are available, and Kathy Spencer's out at the tape table. I encourage you to get this series. The first and foremost understanding you must understand, the origin of disease is not from God. It's from the enemy, the devil, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus very clearly showed and taught and demonstrated who the father of disease was. And we won't go into scripture to substantiate that. Tapes are available, and it's very clear. We go through many scriptures to substantiate that truth. Secondly, you must recognize the vehicle God has provided that enables you to receive healing from Him. You have to recognize there is something God has given the believer, a tool that will enable him to receive by. That is the tool of faith. And if you don't understand or recognize that healing is received through faith, not through fasting, not through prayer, not through prayer chains or prayer vines or prayer lines or prayer towers or prayer basements, not through begging, not through going to a special healing meeting. Now, you can go to a special healing meeting and get healed. Thank God for that. But dear child of God, if you get healed by the gifts of the Holy Ghost in manifestation and you don't know how to walk by faith, you can lose your healing. And we've seen that happen in our meetings, much to our heartbreak. And I want to share with you, if you don't recognize the vehicle, now listen, that God has provided that enables you to receive from Him. If you don't understand how it functions, how the realm of faith works, then you are grossly limited. In fact, you're in such a position that you should not even think that you can receive healing, or the Bible didn't even qualify, it said anything from the Lord. Thirdly, you must know how to obtain faith's presence for healing. If faith is the vehicle, you must know how to obtain faith. Many dear ones will pray, God, give me faith. It's an unscriptural prayer. God will never answer that prayer. Faith does not come by praying. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So if you don't know, these are keys. If you don't know faith is the vehicle, then you're lost. But if you do know, but you don't know how to obtain it, then you're lost still. How do you obtain faith's presence? You must know that. Fourthly, you must know how to recognize when faith is present for healing. In other words, you need to know when you've obtained it. If faith is the vehicle, and you have to know how to obtain it, then you have to know how to recognize when it's there. I say that's one of the most common questions Michelle and I have heard through the years. How do I really know when I have faith to be healed? And we taught on that. How to know your heart is persuaded, and how to persuade your heart. Because faith is of the heart. Again, we don't have time to teach these things. Tapes are available. Fifthly, we said you must allow your life to be governed by faith's presence. If faith is the vehicle, and you know how to obtain faith's presence, and you know how to recognize when it's there, then you must permit your life to be governed by your faith. The Bible said we shall walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, your life must be governed by faith. Faith must be the leader. You must be the follower. You and I must be willing to ask our faith this question. Can I think this way? Can I talk this way? Can I act this way? And we must correspondingly agree with what faith says. If faith says, you can't think that way anymore, then my mind, I permit it not to think that way. Because if I'm going to walk by faith, or faith is a flashlight in a dark room, and I follow the flashlight. But many of our dear faith has said, go this way, and we've gone this way. And we've wondered why we've not been able to receive from God. You must be willing, I must be willing, to let our lives be governed by the presence of faith. Our last meeting we talked about, in the sixth one, is you must know God's will concerning your healing. If you don't know it's God's will to heal, then you can't pray. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Let me say that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Many ones will come in prayer lines through the years. They come and they pray, oh Lord, if it be thy will. And I stop them right there and say, well, get the first prayer answered. Because you didn't ask God to heal you. You asked God a question. Is it your will? Find out. If he says no, then go be sick. And God forbid, don't you go to a doctor. Any Christian that came to me, well, it's the will of God for me to be this way. Then God forbid you should go to a physician to get out of the will of God. You sit there and suffer until you die. But you know nobody believes it. That no one believes that way. It's just religion. It's some reasoning. We've got to reason away. We've got to figure out a way to figure out why isn't this working. Well, it must not be the will of God. Some religious reason why we're not able to have reality with God. And brother and sister, I've had religion up to here and beyond. I was raised in religion. I prayed to statues. My statue praying days are over. I don't mean that against anybody who prays to statues. That's between them and God. I'm not criticizing them. I'm telling you that I'm no longer praying to something that has feet, that can't walk, lips that can't speak, hands that can't reach out. We have a living God who has a living word, who had a living son who died for me. And I am convinced that he's still the same God, and I'm going to walk in the light of his word, and I'm not backing off for anything. The will of God. You must determine the will of God. What is God's will? Jesus said, I am the expressed will of my Father. He's the very image and the person of God. Look at Jesus' view of disease. Look what happened when the leper came to him and said, if thou wilt, you can make me whole. What did Jesus say? I will. The will of God is to heal. Let me say this. Healing always comes. It's not always received. Healing always, let me say it more clearly. Healing power always comes. It's not always received. And I want to, the purpose of these lessons are to teach you the keys necessary to receive healing. Remember, Galatians said this about receiving the blessing of God. It said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse in order that the blessing might come upon us, that we might receive the promise through what? Through what? Faith. The promise is received through the doorway or vehicle of faith. Now, the seventh, of which we're going to spend the lesson today on, and we're going to conclude next week with 8 and 9, is you must believe that God gives liberally and upon approach. You must believe. These are things you should believe. You must believe God is a liberal giver. And you must believe that He gives, now listen to me, upon approach. That means when you come, it's yours. If your heart's not persuaded in that fact, you're a child of God, you cannot receive healing. I'll prove it to you by the Word. Have you found Hebrews 11? Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe. Now listen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without demonstrating faith in your life, it is impossible. Impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God? Then you have to walk by faith. Without walking by faith, you don't please God. I don't care how often you go to church, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night. You pray in tongues until your tongue falls out of your head. Until you fast, until your bones rot. Faith pleases God. Works should be born out of faith. But many dear ones live by works and try to please God by their actions. And nobody ever acts and lives right long enough to fill the bill because works aren't enough. Good works should be born out of a life of faith. Good works don't produce faith. Faith produces good works. He said, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God, how many of you want to come to God? You must believe. For he that comes to God must believe. Believe what? You must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You must believe that God is. Does that mean just simply say that God exists? No. You must believe that God is now, present tense. Many Christians have no trouble believing God was or God will be. You can talk forever about Moses came down from the mountain. You can talk forever about the life of Jesus. And you can talk forever about the rapture of the church and the millennial reign of Christ. But don't you bring God into the presence. Because you bring God into the presence, their religious fervor gets all worked up. Because now you talk about God as He is. God is not the God of the was or the God of will be. He said, my name is I am. He said, I am that I am. He didn't say, I was that I will be. He said, in other words, God is an iser, not a wazzer. God is an iser, not a will or be. He is. You must believe I'm the same God today as I always have been and will be. You must believe that when you come to me. You must believe that to operate in faith that pleases me. You must believe He's God, that He always was. Something about religion just infuriates. Let me sanctify it. Righteous indignation. It almost infuriates me when I see dear hearts that love God, that want to serve the Lord with all their heart and life, who have been trapped in religious thinking and tradition of men. Somehow we've been trained to believe that God's not the same God, that somehow He's grown old and nervous. No, He's the same God. The Bible says for me to please Him, I must believe that He is. He is present tense God. And I must believe He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Do you see God as a rewarder? Has your heart been persuaded that God is ever ready to reward those who seek Him diligently? To reward those who present faith to Him? Oh, how often have we kept the hand of God back from us as we've done every other thing but walk by faith? Faith is the vehicle that enables God to be the God that is to you. The God that is present tense to you, and the God who desires to reward you. Faith is the vehicle that will permit you and I to walk in the blessing of God. There is no other way. And yes, people will criticize you. Yes, you'll have people, so-called experts. And usually an expert's just a little spurt away from home. Experts, oh, you're one of those faith people. And I always say, thank you. Yes, I'm a faith person. What are you, an unbeliever? Amen. Now, I understand what they mean. They're talking about some of the excesses that have been out in the body of Christ. And I can't control excess, can you? I can't control what other people believe and do. I can't control the fallacies that people choose to believe. I can't change that, but I can permit and change what I believe. I can walk in the truth and the reality of God's Word. I can present God's Word accurately. I can walk accurately in the Word, in the power, in the presence of God. And though 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, it doesn't have to come nigh me. Amen? And I encourage you, begin to feed your heart the Scripture that my God is, and He wants. God is ever ready to reward. He desires to reward those who operate in faith. That's His will. And you must establish your heart in the fact that God is a giver. You must establish your heart in the fact that God gives upon approach. Now listen, or the moment you ask in faith. Look at James, the first chapter. Just a couple pages over. James chapter 1. Brother and sister, I pray now the Spirit of the living God reveal to your heart these words that are going to come out of my mouth. That God by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will teach you and penetrate your heart. And in some of our dear lives, remove years of religious tradition that have, as pouring wax in your ears, have made us dull of hearing. Somebody said, what do you believe? What church do you believe? I believe no church. I don't believe this church. I believe God's Word. Our church is based on the Bible. What do I want to base it on the Bible? Why not just the Bible? Why not just God's Word? Isn't it enough? What they're simply saying is this. God's Word is so high and holy, no man could ever understand it. So we'll tell you what He really meant. And who qualified you to interpret God? If God didn't mean what He said to your child of God, He's a liar. That's all He could be. He meant what He said. He said what He meant, and He'll back it. If we'll walk in faith. Faith pleases God. And I'm not backing off. I can have all... And get ready for this. We're small now. There's only a little over a couple hundred people that come here. But you wait and see when there's 3,000 people coming. Well, there'll be experts come to criticize us. Sure they will. But I'm not back... Hey, my Bible tells me, let God be true and every man a liar. I stand before God. You know your critics won't be there. They say, have you ever heard of a man named Smith Wigglesworth? You know, men like named Smith Wigglesworth ought to be anointed. He had a tremendous healing ministry. Died in 1947. Now, I mean, people have written about his ministry, and his ministry still through writings has impact today. And I read a statement that I thought was wonderful. He said, the critics of Mr. Wigglesworth were in the thousands. He said, but no one writes books about his critics today. He said, his critics inspire no one to trust God today. When I stand before God, I'll have said, God, I honored you and not the critic. I honored you and not the unbelieving believer. That I stood and walked by faith because it pleased you. And everyone else said, it doesn't make me happy. Fine. I'll walk by faith and not by sight. I'll walk by faith and not by sight. And I will be a person who purposes in his heart to please his God. Look at James chapter 1. Verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or tests. Everybody say, count it all joy. Now notice, when you fall into temptations or tests. That's not a normal thing to do, is it? What do you usually want to do? Count. You want to count the misery. Right? But listen what he said. Look at verse 3. Knowing this. In other words, to enable you to count something joy, to count the test joy, you've got to know something. What do you have to know? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work endurance or patience. But, this is what you have to know. You have to know this. But let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or in need of nothing. Now let me ask you something. If you go into a test knowing that if you walk by faith, at the end of that trial, you'll be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If you know this, isn't it easier to count it all joy? The reason most believers can't count it all joy is they don't know going into the problem that they already have the answer. And he goes on to say this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Everybody say, ask of God. The God that, now listen to this, the God that gives liberally to all men. Listen to this. I want to read it out of several translations. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, the God that gives to all men liberally, freely or generously and with an open hand, and it shall be given him. Say out loud, my God gives liberally, freely, generously, and with an open hand. And the Bible says it shall be given him. Now look at verse 6. He qualifies it. But. Everybody say the word but. In other words, let him ask of God, but. Here's the qualification. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now listen to verse 7. This is God's word. For let not that man, what man? The man that wavers. Let not the man that wavers think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Not just wisdom. Anything. If you and I don't know how to stay into the realm of faith, the Bible said, if you're pulled outside of the realm of faith into the realm of wavering, he said, you mark it down. Don't even think. Don't even let the thought cross your mind that you're in a position to receive from God. Now, folks, I don't want to be in the wavering realm, do you? I desperately don't want to be in the realm of wavering. Now, first we have to determine, what does it mean to ask of God? What does it mean to ask in faith? And what does it mean to waver? I just believe, you know, my heart's desire is this. Don't tell me what God can do. Tell me how God can do it. For years, I've heard preach, oh, and God can do, and God can do, and God can do. And I said, well, how can you do it for me? Trust the Lord, brother. What do you mean? Seek the Lord. Okay, how? Trust Him. Tell me what it means to ask of God. Tell me what it means to ask in faith. Tell me what it means to waver so I don't waver. Because the Bible says if you're wavering, don't even think you can receive from God. And there's so many dear hearts, they stand in the realm, they've never even gotten to wavering because they've never learned to ask in faith. If you can't ask in faith, you're not even positioned to waver yet. I've had many people come to me and say, well, am I wavering? I said, well, have you received? I don't know. No, you're not wavering. You never ask in faith yet. Most people have asked of God, but they did not ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Many dear ones have been raised religiously and traditionally. When you have a problem, ask of God. Oh, God, help me, please. Please. Oh, listen, child of God, if tears brought answers, everybody'd have them. Everybody'd have them. But He didn't say ask in emotion. He didn't say ask with tears. He said ask in faith. Now let me share this with you, and this is one of the most wonderful truths that you can ever learn about faith. You can have tears in your eyes and faith in your heart. You can have emotion screaming in you saying, what do I do now? What do I do now? And you can still stand in the realm of faith. Because faith is not an emotion. Faith is a spiritual force deposited by God in the heart of the believer that we can walk in light of. And nothing can separate us from if we choose to walk in it. Nothing, no one, no circumstance, no devil from hell, nothing, nobody. We've got to know. We've got to establish our heart that our God is a giver. He gives freely or generously with an open hand. And that He gives upon approach. And if your heart's not established in that, you can never get into the faith realm. What does it mean to ask of God? What does it mean to ask in faith? Go to Mark the 11th chapter. Mark chapter 11. What does it mean to ask of God? If you don't know how to ask of God in faith, you aren't even in a position to waver. And I tell you sincerely, most people have never wavered because most people have never asked in faith. They've never learned what it means to ask in faith. Everybody say ask in faith. I pray in Jesus' name that you get the importance of what's being said right now. What I'm sharing with you right now is one of the keys of the revelation of the Word of God that the body of Christ for years has been without, that's kept them prisoned. Imprisoned to their senses, imprisoned to their circumstances, imprisoned to who raised them, who didn't raise them, imprisoned to their finances, imprisoned by what they see with their eyes because they've never learned to walk by faith and not by sight. This is a key. Dear child of God, knowing how to ask in faith is a key that if you don't have your heart established in, you and I don't even think you shall receive anything of the Lord. He said the man that wavers shouldn't think he should receive. How much more so the man who hasn't even ask in faith yet? Most have learned to ask, but not in faith. If you found Mark 11, look at verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, speaking to Peter after Jesus spoke to a tree, cursed it, and a day later it withered and died from the roots up. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Literally that verse says, how many of you have a number two by the word have? Raise your hand. Raise your hand so y'all don't think I'm making this up. Now, the margin of my Bible says this, have the faith of God. Does anybody's margin say that? Raise your hand. Okay, just so you don't think I'm making it up. Jesus said to them, have faith in God or have the faith of God. In other words, He's saying this. This is how God's faith works. This, Peter, when I spoke to that tree and it obeyed me and died, this is how it worked. In verse 23, He gives you what we will term the law that governs faith. He said, verily I say to you that whoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says. Those things which he was. Says or prays? Ask for. That he shall believe those things which he asked God for. No, those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he prays for. No, says. He'll have whatever he begs for. No, says. He'll have whatever the prayer vine, line, chain, basement, tower is praying. No, no. He'll have what. The law of faith is what you believe in your heart coming out of your mouth, confessed. That's how we got saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Roman road that everybody that knows that ever led someone to Christ. If thou shalt believe with thy heart the Lord Jesus, Jesus as Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And shall confess him as Lord. Believe in the heart, save with the mouth. That's how you got saved. That's faith. That's how faith, the law of faith is the belief of your heart, the persuaded heart confessing. Jesus said that is the law of faith. Peter, when I spoke to the tree and said, tree, die, I believed it in my heart, spoke it out of my mouth, and the tree died from that moment, from the roots up. Now, they didn't see it till a day later. The leaves withered. And Peter said, Master, the tree you cursed died. And Jesus said, listen, this is how God's faith works. You say it, you believe it in your heart, it comes to pass. That's the faith of God. That's how He made the world. God made the world through faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 3. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things were made were not made by things that you can see. The seen realm was made by the unseen realm. God said, light be, and what happened? God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. He believed and said, and it happened. And that's why Jesus said to this mountain. See, they were excited about the tree. He pointed to a mountain. He said, you see that mountain? If you believe in your heart, say it with your mouth, it'll go. What he's saying, if you operate in faith to the level God has, that mountain would have to obey you. Why? Because it's the Word of God spoken in faith that made the mountain. Doesn't it make sense that the same God who created this earth, created the dust of the earth your bodies are made of, the same Word that created you, when applied in faith, will heal you? Is it anything to think that a tumor can be dissipated by the power of God? It's nothing to Him, but it must be cooperated with. Because it is the Word of God that formed your flesh. The dust from which my flesh and your flesh is formed was made by the Word of God. It is still subject to the Word of God. But the Word of God must be cooperated with in faith. It must be believed in the heart. The heart persuaded that what God said is true. Confessed with the mouth. That's the law that governs faith. Live by faith means I only believe what God says. I only say what God says. I never talk about lack. Never. How many of you have been to this church for at least 3 or 4 months? Have you ever heard me one time as your pastor mention money, the need for it? Have you ever heard me say, well, if we don't get money, the building program. Anybody ever felt 1 ounce of pressure about the building program? Anybody at all? Why? Because I don't believe that pressure is how you get people to obey God. The project's probably going to end up costing about $700,000. He said, but well, you know, you better start a pledge. You better start selling this and bricks and buy a tile and all kind of, hire a team of people. Hey, man, there's consultants come in. They come into your church. I've gotten letters from them. We'll come and raise an offering out of your people. I'm thinking, I'm going to pay you to come manipulate the folks God told me to be in care of? No, thank you. Why? Because if God said do it, then just do it and let God be God. And have enough faith in God to let your heart be persuaded by what God said. Act that way, talk that way, think that way, and respond that way. And just simply tell people, you do what the Lord tells you to do. It's none of my business. You don't want to do anything. It's none of my business. God didn't put it on your back or mine. He said, except the Lord build the house. I'm not building it. I sure enough can't pay for it, so what I want to lose sleep about it for? I'm not fasting a meal. I'm not spending any extra time in prayer about it. God said it, and it'll come to pass. Now, if He leads me to fast, I will. Don't misunderstand me. Because sometimes you need to do that to help yourself with your senses. But unless He leads me, I'm not doing anything extra. I'm just going to keep acting like God told the truth. Just walk it out, and it'll come to pass in Jesus' name. Now, I would to God I was persuaded like that in every area. It'd be more fun for Michelle. She'd be married to me. But I'm not. I'm not, neither are you. But I'll tell you what, I'm purposing to persuade my heart. The law that governs faith, the belief of the heart, aligned with the confession of the lips. Now look at verse 24. That is the law of faith. Now verse 24 is the prayer of faith, or we could say asking in faith. Jesus said in verse 24, therefore. Everybody say therefore. Therefore. What's the rule of Bible interpretation? When you see a therefore, see what it's there for. It's very simply, because faith operates this way, I now say this to you in verse 24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What things soever you desire when you pray. How many of you have desires? What things you desire when you pray, you must believe something. Now, I've asked Christians through the years, just to prove this out, what are you supposed to believe when you pray the prayer of faith? 9 times out of 10, I've heard this. Well, I believe God's a good God. I believe God can heal. I believe God will, God honors His Word. All things that are fine to believe, but it's not what you should believe when you pray the prayer of faith. What must you believe to pray or to ask in faith or to pray the prayer of faith? You must believe something. You must believe that you have received when you prayed. And child of God, if you did not leave that place of prayer believing you received, the moment you prayed, you did not ask in faith. If you did not leave your place of prayer convinced that God is a liberal giver and that He gives upon approach, that if you did not leave that place of prayer saying, I believe that I receive now by faith. And then Jesus said, you shall have it. The physical manifestation occurs after you believe you receive. Oh, the word of God. This is the key to knowing how to receive from God. If you don't know that you received when you prayed, you've never asked in faith and you're not even in a position to waver. That's why it's so important that we understand asking of God. If you haven't believed you received when you prayed, then you haven't asked in faith, and you don't even qualify to be in a position of wavering. And now understand this. The reason you can believe you receive when you pray is because God's a liberal, He's a liberal giver, and He gives upon approach. When you come, it's yours. When you come, it's yours. Now how can that be? How can it be that God gives immediately upon approach? How do you know it's His will to do it? You have a right to expect God to give upon approach anything His Son shed His blood for. Anything Jesus shed His blood for is the will of God for you to enjoy. And it must be appropriated by faith, and it must be asked for in faith, or believe you have received it upon approach to God. What did He shed His blood for? First, that you could be born again. Anybody here ever led someone to Christ? Raise your hand. Have you ever done it this way? Come to Jesus. Give your heart to Him. Maybe God will save you. Why not? How do you know? How do you know it's God's will to save him? How do you know He'll do it? Well, He said so, brother. See, people have no trouble with faith for salvation. And you ever have someone ask after you, how do I know He'll come? Because He promised He would. Yeah, but how do I know? Because He's not a liar. Jesus said, I'll turn no one away, no matter what you've done. No matter, He'll come in my heart? You mean if I can, He'll come? He sure will. He said, but what will I feel? And what do you say? It doesn't matter what you feel, because He promised He'd come. And so when it comes to faith for salvation, we're well versed in it. You lead someone how many people get saved? You went to them and said this, you know, why don't you come and ask the Lord to come into your heart? You never know though if He'll come or not. He might not. How will I know? Well, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts than our thoughts. You'd get nobody saved. Because they, okay, Jesus, come. I don't see Him. He's not here. What do I do now? No, when you lead someone to Christ, you say, God said His Son died for you. His Son did die for you. He loves you. All you've got to do is receive Him. He'll come. They receive Him. He comes. And then they say, I don't feel any differently. And you say, doesn't matter. And we have a term in the body of Christ saying, ministering assurance of salvation. If we were schooled in faith for salvation, let me say it this way, in faith for healing, like we were in salvation, when somebody came up to be prayed for, they wouldn't go back to the seat going, I guess it didn't work. Because they would know how to believe they receive when they pray and walk by faith and not by sight. Because Jesus said, J-E-S-U-S, Son of God, Jesus said, if you believe that you receive when you pray, you'll have it. Anything He shed His blood for. He shed His blood for your salvation. He shed His blood for your healing. He shed His blood for your financial condition. He shed His blood for your mental condition. He shed His blood for your social condition. God's will is for His people to be prosperous spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, financially. He became your sin substitute, your sickness substitute. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Sickness, Himself took our sickness and carried our pain. Mental anguish, He said the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He bore your pain. He bore your sickness. He bore your sin. He bore your disease. He bore your poverty. The Bible said, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, so that through His poverty you might have a full supply. It's God's will. It's already God's established will, and it's got to be enjoyed by faith. That's why when you come, you believe. God gives upon approach, and I believe I receive when I pray, it's mine. And if you haven't done that, you've not asked in faith. And I submit this to you. Most Christians have never asked in faith one time. One time. They've never left the place of prayer. See, that's why if you pray the prayer of faith twice, the second time was an unbelief. If you believe that you receive when you pray, why would it necessitate asking again? If I'm God, BMBO, that's BMBO here. Big Men Ben Ogle. Amen. WAB with the Bible. Hallelujah. He spoke, that's a long story. Anyway, I'm going to be God. That's a stretch, but Ben's going to be receiving healing. He believes he receives when? When do you have to believe you receive? When? When you pray or ask. Now, he believes he receives healing when he prays. This will be representative of his healing. Ask, believe you receive. Now, does he possess it by faith? Does it make sense then to ask for it again? If he asked again, did he believe he received when he prayed the first time? Then did he ask in faith? So, when you pray, thank you, when you pray the second time, you've already proven you didn't believe you received the first time. See, dear child of God, what does it mean now? We know, see what it means to ask of God, ask in faith. Now what's it mean to say nothing wavering? Go back to James chapter 1. Oh, it's so important. It's so important. It's so important that we get these things, these truths burned into our spirit. Anytime, child of God, you abandon the heart's persuasion that God is a liberal giver, that He gives upon approach, that you believed you received when you prayed, you have entered into the realm of wavering. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now let me say it this way. If you're persuaded that God is going to give it to you in the future, then you've never asked in faith. You know how many people I've had? I'll tell you this. Probably as many as any other thing, people have come to me and said this. I believe God's going to heal me. Oh, I trust that God's going to heal me. I'm standing in faith that God's going to heal me. No, you're not standing in faith. You're hoping. You've put off into the future. And I always say to them, when will you receive your healing? Well, when I'm healed. I said, no, when will you receive it? Well, when I'm healed. No, when will you receive it? Well, when I'm healed. They don't get it. And then I will you receive when you pray? Well, if my body gets healed, I will. They don't understand. They don't see that you must believe. You receive when you pray. That's when you've got to believe. The moment you pray, you've got to believe you receive and then stand your ground. And Jesus said, you'll have it. Father, I thank you that when I prayed, I believed I received. Now my faith is based on your word. Himself took my sickness, carried my pain. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all mine iniquities. Who healeth all my diseases. With his stripes, I was healed. And just stand on the word. And when you and I come to the position that we know we believe and receive when we pray, then you're in a position to ask in faith. Now what does it mean not to waver? Simply not to waver simply means this. Here comes the circumstance. You found James 1? Verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not the man that wavers think he shall receive anything of the Lord. What's it mean to waver? Simply put, you believe you receive when you prayed. Now here comes a circumstance telling you the contrary. If it's for healing, a pain. Oh. And you will immediately want to draw your heart's persuasion to the physical and say, I must not be healed. I must not have received when I prayed because I don't see anything different. Walk by faith and not by sight. Believe you receive when you pray. Wavering is when you more highly esteem your circumstance than what you believe you receive when you pray. Wavering is when your heart's persuasion leans to the circumstance and you ask your circumstance, can I think this way? Can I talk this way? Can I act this way? Instead of ask your faith. You ask a person standing in faith, can I think this way? They'll tell you no. I can't think contrary to what I believe I received when I prayed. I can't let the thought cross my mind. Now, they come, and thoughts will come like machine gun bullets. But I refuse to let my mind think them. I cast them down like the Bible says to. What are you going to do? 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 Where are you going to get $200,000? Where in the world? 200 people, where are you going to get $200,000 down? What are you going to do now? 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 You ever heard those words? Now what are you going to do? I can't let myself. No. I ask faith. Can I think that way? He says, Because you believe you receive when you prayed. So what do I think? I thank you, Father. I thank you, your word. So let God be true and every man be a liar. Circumstance, you must bow your knee to what God said. And I stand my ground. Now I want to act a certain way. And you want to respond and say, what are we going to do? You know, and just begin, honey. My wife, not one time. And I'm not setting myself up as the example of the wife. But we can fail without any examples. I'm trying to illustrate to you areas that we've been schooled in. Now, I've already shared with you ones we hadn't been. And I'm growing in myself. But my wife, not one time have I even spoken to my wife outside of that realm. Because I can't. I cannot. Because I'm walking by faith, and faith says don't talk that way. You have to go by what you believe you receive when you pray. I can't think that way. I cannot act that way. When you're breaking ground, and I've said all along, as soon as we get a building permit, we still, by the way, don't have it. But we're getting there, and God's moved wonderfully. We'll have the permit probably a couple months or so. We'll break ground officially in the spring. A lot of work will be done before that, but officially spring, this time next summer, hallelujah. You can just come here and watch Bambi. Glory to God. How are you going to break ground in the spring? You have what you need to do it right now? No. No. Nope. 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 But that's not what I'm moved by. I'm moved by what I believe. I believe I received when I prayed. I believe God said do this, and I believe that God has just half sense enough to honor His Word. I mean, it wouldn't take full sense to honor your Word. Half sense would be enough. But I believe God's full of wisdom and integrity. If God said it, He'll make it good. Now, you've got to get to the place to where you are persuaded that God gives upon approach. You've got to get to the place to where you know that you believed you received when you prayed. And dear child of God, if you've not gotten there, you've never asked in faith, and you now you're not even in a position to waver. Now, when the circumstance comes, in this case healing symptoms or sickness symptoms coming saying, contrary to what you believe, you don't deny reality. Here's what a lot of people have done, calling it faith. I'm not sick. That's not faith. That's lying. The Bible doesn't talk about saying I'm not sick. No, you're not sick. What you're praying for? I don't talk about what I see. I talk about what I believe. When symptoms come, I don't say I'm not sick. I say, Father, I thank you. I received healing when I prayed. So how do you feel? Well, if you want to know how I feel, I'll tell you. I'm not moved by it, though. And so I'm moved by what I believe. See, many people thinking they're walking by faith deny reality. You have a cough? No, I don't have a cough. Jesus' name. That's not faith, that's lying. Faith calls things which are not as though they were. Not things that are there as though they were not. We'll teach on that a little bit. Faith calls things that are not present as though they were. Because what did you receive when you prayed healing? It's not present. You believe you receive when you pray. What most people do is this. They call things that are there as though they're not. That's called lying. It's called Christian Science, which is an insult to Christians and to science. It's like grape nuts. It ain't grape, it ain't nuts. And Christian Science ain't Christian and it ain't science. Disease is a figment of the imagination as you stand over the grave. Hello, anybody home in there? Phew. Unbelievable. And see, many in their ignorance thought that's what faith did. Faith never denies reality. Faith changes reality. Faith applies the Word of God to the substance of life, and the substance and circumstance of life bows its knee to what God said. That's faith. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith doesn't deny that we don't have enough money to do what right now in the bank what we need to do. Faith doesn't deny that. Faith just isn't moved by that. I don't act by that. I act by what God said. And now down the road, must have been some just person that came to that church. Some person that showed up. It's God that shows up. That somebody heard God, did what God said do, and God gets the glory. You see, if we do it by manipulating people through this scheme, that scheme, and if you don't give, you know, they'll go to hell and it's your fault kind of stuff. And someone's manipulated into giving, first of all, I answer to God for that sin. Secondly, then I have to sustain the work of God by fleshly motivations. And then eventually it'll crumble and someone will say, why'd God let that happen? Because God, they built the house, not God. The Bible said, if God builds the house, it'll stand. If you build it, you labor in vain. I'm not wasting my life. Don't you either. Build the life on the substance of the Word of God, living by faith, and God will keep the house. Both in my home and in my ministry. And the same for you. We are a people of faith. Let me get finally, go to Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to close very quickly. Romans chapter 8. Oh, brother and sister, this is so important. This is so important. This is so important. Oh, bless God forevermore. Bless the Lord forevermore. Ben, do me a favor. Go in the nursery real fast and get my little boy and bring him here to me. Thank you. Bless God forevermore. See, this is what it would be like. A man that asks God to forgive him, but he's not sure that God would forgive him immediately upon approach. You know, you ever seen somebody like that? I've just done too much. But you say, God will forgive you. Now, that man knows his need for forgiveness. He knows God's ability to forgive. But you know what he's not persuaded of? Is that God will forgive him upon approach. That's what keeps many people. You may be here today and have walked away from God. And you think, well, what do I have to do to get back? I just have to, if I can just prove it to God long enough. If I can prove it to God long enough. If I can prove it to God. No. You come by His blood and His mercy. Oh, receive me back, Father. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Pow! You're clean. Like it never happened. And I don't care what you've done, where you've been, where you failed. He'll forgive you upon approach. And that's why many dear ones never serve God any longer. They've never been persuaded that God forgives upon approach. They think God forgives, over a period of time. After you prove yourself. Brother, sister, if we had to prove ourselves, we'd all be going to hell. Because He died for those who were lost in sin. He loves you. 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 And He forgives upon approach. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. We're going to close right there. He said this. He said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, having given us this gift, how can He fail to lavish upon us all that He has to give? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, having given us this gift, how can He fail to lavish upon us all that He has to give? This is my little boy. Come here, honey. Come see Dad. Come here. Come here, sunshine. Now, I love this little boy more than life. If I took my son and laid him down and killed him for you, could there be a greater insult to me to come to me and say, will you heal me? Will you help me with my bills? Can I borrow your car? I'd say, take my car. This is my son. I love him more than breath. And if I lay his life down and he dies for your welfare, how can you not expect me then to lavish upon you all that I have to give? That's Romans 8:32. He said, I gave you this. How can you then not be persuaded that everything I have in my power to give you, I'll give? Oh, but the body of Christ has been so schooled in religion, we forgot that God had a little boy, a son that He loved like I love mine. And He laid him down and He died. He died. His son died. His son died. And then His people come to Him and say, do you want to bless me? And His heart must break. He says, how can you say that when I've given you everything I have to give? I've given you my son. He said, how can you not? I've given you all I have. How can you then not expect me to lavish upon you everything I have of every form of substance? Physically, financially, spiritually, socially. That's why He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. Because there's nothing more I can... What more can I give you? Child of God, what more can I give you today as your pastor if I laid down this boy's life for you? What more could I do? My own life would cost me less. I'd give you my own life before I'd give you his. And then, what person that could then come to me as their pastor and say, Pastor, could you counsel with me? I know you don't care about me. Maybe would you help me? Nobody would say that. Nobody would say that because what would burn in their minds, what would burn in their hearts, would burn like a fire. You'd say, oh my God, my pastor loves me. His son, I know where he's buried. I seen his tombstone. He's dead. Oh, that man loves us. Your Father in heaven gave His son and he died. He died. He died. You want to go see mommy? Good boy. Died. He said, I'll lavish upon you all I have to give. Everything I've got, I'll give you. Everything. Child of God, God gives with an open hand. He said, I've held nothing back from you. Lift your hands down. Thank Him. Thank Him. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Get your heart persuaded. Get your heart persuaded that He gives upon approach, that He gives liberally, freely. And He does not withhold. He abradeth not. And He gives upon approach. He gives upon approach. He gives upon approach. He gives upon approach when we ask in faith, nothing wavering. And we shall have whatsoever we believe, we receive when we pray. Oh, Father, thank You for the revelation. the revelation to pierce the heart of your precious people that you are not the God of the religion they were raised in. You are not the God of the religious traditions of men, but you are the God of love, the God of the Bible, the God of your own Word, who said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, having given us this gift, how can He fail to lavish upon us all that He has to give? Oh, Father, Your people must be persuaded in these areas, enabling them to receive. Father, I pray the revelation of the Spirit of God to burn their hearts, to challenge their hearts, that they might see, that they might know, they might completely comprehend and understand the love their Father, who is in heaven, has toward them. Oh, Father God, thank You for it. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bless His wonderful name. Bless His name.